People that just are invested into it, they follow how the police life is, or
they care
a lot about it,
like in a negative way or a positive way.
Positive way.
Oh. Is there, like, are you saying there's a good amount, like there's more people that are not law enforcement that are invested in it than they are, or what do you mean?
Like, how do you feel about it? Like, how do you feel about, like, people that are invested into it, that care about the law enforcement career, but they're not in law enforcement itself.
Like, offering
support. I'm all for it. Those guys, I don't know how many times I've told you, like, or told you, like, I don't know how many times, especially back before this presidency, I'm not going to go further than that, but especially before that, I don't know how many times I was, like, ready to quit. And I work in a small town where, like, it's like, you know, the volume of calls is not as bad, you know, people still kind of, you know, whatever, but there's still a lot of shitty people. It doesn't matter what. You're going to get exposed to whatever, regardless of where you work, but I don't know how many times I thought, like, especially when all this stuff, like, was being publicized, like, all these, you know, this officer killed this, you know, one guy, and blah, 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 that I was ready to fucking quit. But every time that I would go into, especially when it was around the time when I'd go to work, and I'd be at the Exxon getting a cup of coffee, and just have that one guy go up to you, shake your hand, and be like, hey, man, you guys are getting a really fucking shitty rap right now. Thanks for being here for this city and doing what you want for
like
this city.
I feel like I'm getting invested into it. Like,
that does a lot for me than just about anything else I could talk about.
Yeah, because that's the one
thing.
Enough
people
too,
telling you thank you.
That's one thing that's always kind of like, and I'm not saying like man, I feel uncomfortable because, like, I don't know if I should, you know, go talk to them or something like that. You know, just say, you know, like, hey, man, you know, stay up, or, like, you know, just offer, you know, a couple words of encouragement. Like, I know what you guys deal with, you know, but, you know, just stay up, you know, just, you know,
that does a
take
lot
care
for
of yourself, you know.
So
would the majority of officers, would they, you know, would they welcome that?
I mean, I guess it just depends on the officer.
It depends on the officer.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It depends on the situation,
saying.
But, I mean, if you can kind of, because it's not really kind of hard to tell when someone's, like, in that mood of being approached or not. You can kind of know when someone's already pissed off. You know what I mean? You can't tell.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're just out and about, or you're at 7-Eleven or some shit like that, and you see them standing there and just kind of shooting the shit and talking, yeah. Like, if you can tell that, if you can tell that you could probably vibe with them just by telling them, hey, whatever, then yeah, by all means do it. Like, because I'm telling you, they might not even show it. They might not even express how glad they are for you telling them that. But, man, speaking from, like, all these guys everybody that I work with, that shit goes a long fucking way.
Right.
That shit goes a really fucking long way.
Right.
So, I'm gonna share this, just a little story.
Yeah.
So, the other day, me and my girlfriend were driving, right? And we're about to go get shit-faced. But before we got shit-faced, we were going buying, like, food to make. Like, you know, for a cookout. She was buying wine and I was buying beer. And I guess the power lines have fell down or something, but there was like about 5 police cars. There was about like 6 officers standing outside, and this is like 90 degrees outside.
Oh, damn.
And then I'm sitting there at the light, and they're trying to direct traffic, and we're on the way to Tom Thumb, and I pull up to Tom Thumb, and I'm like, man, fuck, it's fucking hot. You know, I work in the outside weather, so I know how hot it gets and how miserable it is. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, fuck it. I got like 5-6 waters, 6 Red Bulls. My girlfriend is like, what are you doing with all that? And she's like, man, like,
I'm thirsty.
I had some shit in a minute. I'm parched.
Yeah. I told her, you'll see. Like, it's something that I have to do. That is not, if I don't do it, it's not going to let me sleep at night. It really ain't. So we pay for it. I pay for my stuff, and she paid for the stuff that she was getting. And I shit you not, I feel like the devil was working against me, because by the time we went back, I mean, it was like 20 minutes tops, maybe like 10.
Yeah.
And by the time we went back, they were all gone.
Oh,
I felt
damn.
Like shit, bro.
That sucks. Oh, I mean, the intention was there, you know what I mean? Like, that's good. I mean, if you weren't able to do it, that's fine. I mean, all I can say with that is just next time you see him, man.
Yeah,
say, just say something nice to him.
Yeah, then,
if
I mean,
that, you know what I mean?
And that reason I asked that question is because I feel like I'm getting, I guess, invested in it. Like, I care. The reason I care about it so much, or just, I guess, just to, again, typical, I guess, my race, I'm Hispanic, and people think that because I'm Hispanic, I should be anti-police or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I actually been through a couple of things that I will say that maybe I should be, I guess, anti-police, but I'm not, you know? I said something that I could have been taking racially, and the cop ran me by my throat, and, you know, what'd you call me? And I fucking just moved me around and threw me around, whatever.
Yeah, you chose not to be like the quote-unquote status quo where everybody thinks you just should be like negative against the police. No, like,
I had that thing happen, then, I mean, I'll be a case too.
Yeah. Yeah, and see, and that goes to like this one general like kind of idea and that I kind of hold to. Like, I feel that you're not like that because you choose not to be like that, and I tell a lot of people all the time. And my opinion when it comes to like people in society, like, and I'm speaking on this because like I even have a brother that's in prison right now, like. Everybody may not have started off with the silver spoon or the best advantages in life, but everybody at one point will come to that little fork in the road where you're either going to be choosing to let your history and your past environment or your current environment define what your future is going to be, or you're going to go ahead and take the alternate path and say, hey, I'm me, I can do what I want, and I'm going to make my life be whatever I want it to be. And that's how I kind of associate that with what you're saying, because you're not letting every like negative whatever out there in the media or anybody's negative experiences with affect what your state of mind is. So, I mean, that's,
and then I guess
all power to you, man. That's what I appreciate about it.
And I guess to me, in my point of view, it's like all of us here, like all of us, we all have a chance of dying because you don't know what's gonna happen.
Yep. You could be,
you could die at your own house. Something could always happen. There's always a chance of you dying, right?
Yep. We could be in the middle of this podcast like, and fucking aneurysm and poof, you're dead.
Boom, yeah.
And you're dead. Happen. Like, straight up. It's
going to be uploaded. It doesn't matter. No matter what.
And we all get aneurysms at once and shit. Damn.
So,
I guess we all got that chance of dying. You know, we all have that possibility. But I feel like, as a police officer, you purposely put that possibility of dying going to your job.
Yeah, I'm not trying to speak like it's some, I'm not trying to over romanticize or even try to make it seem like our profession is like any better than anybody else's other profession that's important. But a good reality of it is, as soon as you put something that says police on you, you're a fucking target. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that everybody is gunning for you the moment you step out in your squad car. That's not
right.
That's not the case. But the fact of the matter is police. That's the consequence of your action. That's where the buck stops. That's where everything is. You know what I mean? They're the action. They're the thing to deal with when it comes to any negative action in society. So by you being that person, You're that obstacle to overcome. If you're a shithead, if you're a criminal, you're that obstacle to overcome to get away with what you're wanting to do. So, yeah, man, like, I mean, if you're that obstacle, you're going to try to remove it.
There's just no, like, there's this, like, I mean, especially with, like, these, how do you want to say, I guess millennials in this day and age, there seems to be some sort of, like, umbrella that's over their head, like, saying, like, I can't do this because of this. I can't do this because of this. Yeah, there's just something, like, I feel like, okay, I deserve this because, I, you know, I did this. I'm like, the world doesn't owe you anything, buddy. Like, it's not all sunshine and rain. It's not all sunshine and rainbows all the time. But to feel that, like, that I'm oppressed because of this, I'm oppressed because of this, this why I can't do this, this why I can't do that. I'm like, nah, like, it's all out there for you. Like, but right now, like, people are living in the pretty much the best time that they can live in right now. I mean, back in, like, you know, back in the day, you were dying of, like, simple, like, a simple cold.
Well, bitch, was just yesterday, it was the anniversary of D-Day.
Yeah.
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 It's like
old Normandy.
Well, to me, it's one of the greatest generations, you know. They knew that they were going to die, and they still chose to go, you know.
Yeah, and it's just like, I mean,
back in that era, when you were 18, shit, you'd have already fought in wars, had a family, had a house, had a car, you know what I mean? Nowadays at 18, man, you're lucky if any of these guys even know what filing taxes is like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, see, that's another thing too, is like,
they've been kind of shielded by a lot of shit.
And see, that's another thing too, is that whenever, I know this speaks on a different level of the volumes, but whenever a parent says, like, I want the best for my kids, I want the best for my kids, I want my kids to have something that they didn't have, I want my kids to have something that I didn't have, you know?
Oh, God.
And you're saying, like, that, okay, you're sheltering your kid from what's happening in the world, the real world, the one that you grew up in. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're spoiling your kid, you know, you're giving them this and this when they're young, so they feel like, okay, I automatically get this from some source. Like, this is coming from some source. Like, this is coming from my parents, or this is coming from my grandparents, or something like that. And I mean, not to say that that's wrong, but to say that child develops a sense of dependence on something. Like, and now that, you know, that child is older now, they're saying, like, okay, well, I've gotten all this shit for, you know, for free my whole life. Why doesn't someone else give it to me for?
Sometimes it's not even just millennials. Sometimes it could be people from other countries or, like, other places.
Yeah.
You know, like, my, like, just an example. My parents, when they came over to this country, you know, they came illegally or whatever. Or they came legally, but then they overstayed their visa.
Right, right.
But they knew from the beginning that they always had that chance of getting deported or being sent back, you know, for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
There's people in this world that's here and feel like they're entitled to being here, or to, like, oh, well, they're messing with me, you know, blah, blah, blah. My dad always knew that at any time he could be sent back, you know?
Right.
And he could lose everything he worked for.
Right.
But instead of fucking crying about it, he chose to work for everything that he has.
Well, win the latter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing that's kind of misconstrued with, I believe, is because there's so many people that are living with fear right now because of that situation, that they're living that, you know, I'm an illegal, I'm not supposed to be here, and I always have to keep looking over my shoulder, like, you know, to make sure I'm not getting deported or something like that. And the way I felt about that is, like, you know, yeah, I do wish there was some more different types of immigration reform. I wish there was another easier way for someone to come here legally. Because I don't want that person to feel like that. I don't want that person to have that type of fear in them, saying, like, okay, well,
nobody I'm does. Here. Nobody wants them
to
live.
Yeah, but I'm saying is that there's some people out there who you gotta imagine that there's some people here that do want to be here without having to do all the legal process. There are some people that are like that here. Then there are some people who actually, like, here, but they want to be legal. Like, they want to do it the right way. And all I'm saying is that I wish there was, and I know the system is not perfect right now, but I'm saying is that there was a better system to where they can have the opportunity that's easier, and that's easier for them to do that, you know, without them having to, you know, look over their shoulder and whatnot. So, Man, wait, how did y'all get on that topic?
I don't know. That's it just strayed away at one point. I don't even know
where we went to.
Because sometimes it's not just the millennials. Sometimes it could be people from other races.
It's the state of mind that you have.
Yeah.
I mean, if you try to label it, it's just millennials, technically everybody in this, I mean, who's, unless anybody's like 40 years old, everybody in this room right now is a millennial.
No, maybe
by
not,
terminology. Maybe. By terminology.
I looked it up. It's 92.
80, 80, 90. Yeah, but the beginning is 1980. Anybody from the 1980s or something like that to whatever.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. So, I mean, but the thing is, it's like where you fall in that spectrum that kind of defines that. How into like a millennial that you are?
How you know millennial what I mean? Are is how millennial is
yeah,
your millennial?
That's why I threw my dad out there. My dad is like 55, so you know
he's a baby boomer. Right? Or is he baby? No, he's not. Just outside of the baby boomer.
So that's why I brought it up, because it's like, you know, instead of him being chosen to be feel oppressed about being here illegally, he's chose to overcome that and make something out of himself. You know?
Yeah, I'm like 100% on board with, you know, You only let so much define you if you choose to. Like, it's not a, you know what I mean? It's, nothing is ever set in stone for your future. It's all about what you decide to do for it.
Wow. So, Chris, I had this, coming into a closing now. We are starting our initial descend.
You want to ask how to get away out of a traffic ticket or how, like, certain.
I mean, I'm just saying, man. I was just gonna say, yes. What can I do?
Yes, we can. If a squad car has a police radar in it, yes, they can tell if you are speeding.
But what if I use my handbrake?
That they can tell that.
Shit,
they can see that.
I've actually been a witness to it. Like, somebody could be behind them speeding,
yeah,
and he'll know that you're speeding because it has a radar.
And whenever you actually rode out with me, that's when we have the old shit.
Damn,
the new equipment that we have in these cars, I could be on the roadway and tell if somebody's behind me on the highway how fast they're going.
Damn.
I don't have to be
at a standstill. But see that, that radar though on that squad car, the one that you rode out with, that the only way that you could tell that's if I was parked.
No.
I could be moving and see if somebody's speeding away from me off in the distance or catching up to me from behind and see how fast they're going.
Does your police apparatus have a...
apparatus?
Does your police apparatus have plastic seats or cushion seats?
What do you mean, like squad car?
Yeah.
We have leather on both sides, actually.
Really?
Or the cloth.
Wow.
And there's the... I prefer the back seats, I prefer the plastic.
Yeah.
Not because it's uncomfortable or whatever. It's just there's more space.
Right.
And whenever it's happened before, you arrest somebody, you know, you take them to the jail, you're done, you go back, a couple days later, someone finds a bag of meth in the fucking squad car that they managed to stash off
your
shit. You don't really have that happen. That happened to me.
Yeah.
100%, but that wasn't on me. But that has happened to a buddy of mine, I guess I say his name. But it has happened, and it's when you have plastic seats, you can't miss it.
Cut it down a little bit.
Yeah, you can't.
I got you. You got any closing arguments? You got any closing statements?
I can feel like I could talk all night about this topic, man.
Yeah, I can. You know, I've had a couple brews, or I could go quite a bit too.
All right, so I mean, this was going to be my initial question, but since y'all want to make this a longer podcast, but
I don't even know. I haven't kept time with it. So.
Do you have any advice? And I know you kind of touched on it a little bit, but not really in depth. But do you have any advice for any young person out there that's trying to join the force, that's trying to join the police force? Like, do you have any advice for them? Like,
yeah, if you want to be a police officer, do it for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get discouraged so quick, because I didn't know this going in, but the hardest part was not going through the academy, was not learning all the academics behind it, like the state codes, penal codes, all that, none of that. It was actually getting the job. Getting a job somewhere was the hardest part. Because when you actually first apply to a police department, it's not like every other, like, some jobs, maybe nowadays they've increased, like, their you know, the I guess not the strictness, but the thoroughness in how they hire somebody, but when you apply to a police department, first off, from the moment you go in to either do it their testing or even meet up with someone to say, hey, I want to get an application. Anybody that is from that police department and sees you, they're checking you up and down. They're already analyzing
mm-hmm.
how you carry yourself, how you act, how you dress, everything from the get-go. So if you go in there acting like you have no sense, they're going to treat you like you have no sense. They're not going to want to hire you.
Yeah.
But you have to always like keep in mind, like, it's a hard process. You go in, you pick up an application. It's not a 3-page application. It's not a 4-page application. It's not like that. Mm-hmm. The longest application I've ever filled out was 64 pages long front.
Jesus
and front,
fucking Christ.
Front mm-hmm. and back.
What the fuck? How many interviews did you have?
Shoot, I applied to maybe like 5 or 6 places before I finally got hired.
But in each place, how many interviews did you have?
One apiece.
Oh, you know how many interviews it took me to get my job?
6. I guess, I mean, honestly, I don't know. Like,
all you do is deliver carpets.
And all I do is deliver, hey man, those are some good carpets.
See, I don't know how the interviews are, like, with where you work at. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know why. I mean, it's probably.
Do you want to find out?
Pretty much, the reason why it's so many is because they want to weed out the people who are not going to stay. So they pretty much want to get the people who actually want to, you know, do the job.
I get that concept because that's going retro. Is when I was in the academy, my academy class started with 24 people.
Right.
What's our turnover?
If I remember, right, it was like 24 people. We ended with like 12. And I'm not gonna lie. I about fucking quit my second day in. I'll tell you why. The first day we went in, first off, that you know you're green, you don't know fucking shit. You see a cop, you're like, fuck, I ain't nobody. Them motherfuckers got, you know what I mean?
Oh, so not you already, me. Don't arrest me, baby.
You already hold somebody up that you know. You see, you can kind of, when you've been in law, you can tell who's a cop. So you kind of like, you're like, damn, this motherfucker's got. So when you're going in there. Me, I was just kind of like, every single officer I met was just like a pure badass because there were cops around. Shit, I know they have. You know, so the first day I go in there, my boots weren't shiny enough.
Oh, shit.
So they corralled everybody in. They had to stand at attention. I've never been in the military, so I don't know how to fuck stand at attention. You know what I mean? Know that shit.
Maybe.
So you go there, first off, they yell at me because my boots weren't polished enough and my uniform wasn't creased enough. And you know they're fucking with you the whole time, and that the guy has, he fuck with you, he tell me verbatim like your the crease in your pants needs to be sharp enough where I can shave, and the polish in your boots needs to be so bright so that I can see myself shaving while I'm, like, you know what I mean, off the reflection of your boot.
Come on,
they tell you, they tell you that shit all the time.
Yeah.
And so that first day I hadn't exercised in forever, you know, so that first day, and I was like 80 pounds lighter back then anyways. So first day, I shit you not, man. I think I did at least somewhere upwards close to like 100 push-ups spaced out in 4 hours. So I was about fucking dead by the time that was done. And the reason they did that, like, you know, we'd go in the classroom, and that was part of the whole fucking with you type thing. You know, it was building a sense of, like, you know, discipline and all that shit. You know what I mean? So whenever you'd be in the room, if somebody walked into that room that was law enforcement, somebody was required to yell, like,
attention.
We were class 36. They'd be like, class 36, attention.
Yeah.
And everybody has stand up and send attention. Around.
No matter what the officer.
No matter what.
Okay.
No matter who it was, as long as you fucking stood up.
Yeah.
And we missed that about 5 times.
Oh,
so, like,
shit.
Every time it was like 10, 20 push-ups. Every damn time.
Did y'all have a model in your class?
Mile and a half. Mile and a half a run?
No, a model.
What do you mean a model?
Like a phrase or something like that.
Oh, ours was, it's a duty to protect and an honor to serve.
It's
a duty to protect and an honor to serve.
So
cliche.
So cliche,
but
you know
ours was? We were just like, whatever, you know, we're gonna, what was it?
Ours was one vision, one go.
Oh, I think I remember you telling me that. Yeah, yeah, that's actually pretty good. That's actually better.
You went to the academy?
What a shit on your day, Anthony.
Oh, fuck you.
So,
hey, I'm a jack of all trades. I know everything, baby.
Well, anyways, like, my bad. I was gonna finish off the story I had. Anyways,
yeah, go ahead.
So the reason I was gonna quit, all right, was because
the first
fucking day I was there, and I'll never forget this. This is like 10 fucking years ago. I'll never forget this. We were standing at attention, and I was on a row of desks, and there was a buddy of mine. His name's Justin McAbee.
Officer Stonewall.
No, he's not. He didn't end up getting a job. He gave up. Just like a lot of guys did. Like me. That's what I'm saying. Like the hardest part. I say the hardest part. No, no, no. I'm saying like he graduated and everything, but like the hardest part is getting a job. Like I said, he gave up on that. Like it was such a rat race that he just gave up.
Yeah.
But anyways, he was standing in front of me, and so our coordinator was looking at us, and he was pointing. He's like, "Who's gonna be class sergeant? Who's gonna be class sergeant?"
Fuck.
You know, I was so intimidated by everybody because I'm seeing just a bunch of cops out here yelling at us and telling us how much of a piece of shit we are. You know,
right.
So I'm already like intimidated and shit. You know, I'm like, "Damn, all these fucking guys." And so I'm standing there. I'm already tired. It's hot. You know, I'm just like, "Oh fuck, I hope he doesn't choose
me.
I hope he doesn't choose me." And sure said, as I'm thinking, like, "I hope he doesn't choose me," he fucking locks his eyes in my direction.
Yeah.
And I'm just and so. I'm thinking, I'm like, I'm standing there, I'm like, he's pointing at me, I'm just like, I'm just gonna pretend like he can't, like, if I can't see him, he can't see me, you know? So I'm standing there, and then my buddy, Justin, he in front of me, he's like, we called him Country Bumpkin, because he had such a country accent, he's like, "Mate," and he's like, "No, not you, you," and I was like, "Me?" He's like, "Yeah," I was like, "Fuck my life." So he made me a sergeant, he made me the class sergeant in the beginning, because that's how they tested that stuff. Since my buddy said since my buddy thought it was him he was pointing at, he made him class corporal.
Oh shit!
Just because he thought it was him that he was pointing at.
Oh my god!
So I was a class sergeant, class corporal. So as the class sergeant, and class corporal, pretty much your whole job is to get punished for everybody else's fuck up. That fucking that first
it sucks,
it
man.
Does it
you're
does it
do
does fucking suck
day.
It does fucking suck. We were doing a lot of push-ups that
first
day. So that day got done. They're like, "You guys are gonna have a classroom key, right? Classroom key to unlock the door for that classroom. It's got a lot of police training shit, so you have to really take care of it, right?" So. And you know the old phrase, like, you know, "I misplaced this, I didn't lose it."
Yeah.
I for real, like 100% misplaced that key because I had different sets of uniforms.
Oh no.
So I had left the key in my uniform. I had already taken it to the cleaners later that day for my aunt to clean it.
Yeah.
And the next day I was in a clean uniform. Alright, so a different whole uniform. So the next day I go over and I'm driving up there because I'm trying to get there early so I don't get fucking yelled at so I can get everybody in line and not fuck off, you know. And there's a lot of jokesters there, you know. So
yeah.
I get there and I realize I don't have the fucking class key to get moved on.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, "God damn it. Fuck my..." So, and me being the genius that I am, I call like an hour early and call my director's number and his house number at that too. Essentially what I did is I ended up waking up everybody in his fucking house. Early in the fucking morning,
shit.
Right? So,
God,
so
you're such a fucking dickhead. I'm man. So, who the fuck is calling?
So we're everybody's ready, and then okay. So Justin had this bright. Justin had this bright idea. My buddy Justin McAbee had this bright idea. Like, "Why not go there and tell the coordinators that or the counselors there? They should have key. They let us in or whatever." So he goes in. He talks to the counselors, and they're like, you know, because. Back then, it was a community college. So back then, you know, like a lot of people already didn't like the police. You know what I mean? So like some of the counselors, they already, you know, they talk shit about us if we didn't have our shit in order. So Justin goes in there and he tells him, "Hey, we don't have a class key. You guys have a class key for this room to let us in and blah blah blah." He's like, "No, we don't have a class key and blah blah blah." So. anyways, our backup plan was all fucking out the window.
Yeah.
So I get everybody's attention, and it's in an open area. So when you're getting the whole class at attention, you see everybody coming down. The coordinator's coming down, or the director, or whatever, he's coming down.
Yeah.
And I shit you not, I can see him from a distance away, and he is fucking furious. And he just has this look on his face where he is like, you know when someone's intentionally walking to you.
Yeah.
Like, he has this look on his face like, I am walking you, I'm about to fuck your whole world up. So he fucking goes up, like, he's walking up to me, and he just starts chewing my ass out like the worst I've ever been chewed out my whole fucking life. Like, I have never felt like such a small piece of shit in my whole fucking life as that moment. And it didn't stop all fucking day either. He was fucking with me the entire fucking day.
Oh my god.
And I about quit the next day. I about fucking quit. The reason I didn't quit is because my fiance told me not to.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm not fucking leaving.
Yeah. She's like,
don't do it.
He's like, "If you quit just because of that, you're a pussy." I'm like, "Alright, whatever."
Right,
I was like, "I'd be a pussy, but at least I'll be happy."
He's on me.
So,
Oh man!
So, it was a big thing.
Be a pussy,
I mean,
or be happy. Yeah, I would be happy.
Yeah. long story short, I fucking dealt with it, and after the academy, the meeting of a lot of the guys that I graduated with, they were all like, "Man, we all thought you were gonna quit because they fucked with you so hard that first week."
No,
like,
fuck you.
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks, you guys had the most fucking confidence in my ass, fucking man. You didn't, you fucking asshole.
I didn't get one fucking phone call from y'all bitches.
Not a single motherfucker was like, "Hey, lay off Rodriguez." You tried to, not a single, because they all knew if they tried to stick up for me, then they were gonna get the shit too. So they're like,
sucks.
"Fuck that."
Sucks.
Yeah.
So fucking. Just the shit on your day, Anthony.
Oh, man, you always shit. You shit on my life.
It took me a phone interview. To get the job.
For real?
He had to go through all kinds of shit.
I had to go through all kinds of shit to get it.
Oh, man.
That's crazy.
It's over-exaggerated for the line of shit that we do.
But again, I get it. You know, they want to make sure that who stays there stays there. Because
well, it's
because
it's
like that.
It's
going to weed out whoever does it.
It's because it's an investment. I mean, it's not as easy as, you know, but
anytime you lose somebody in a company, it costs more money to lose them.
It's turnover because you got to retrain somebody.
Yeah.
You got to rehire, drug tests,
more money spent doing it. So they're going to make sure that you're going to be down to like, stick it out.
I mean,
at least long enough for them to get their money's worth or whatever.
That's true.
So
they got their money out of him, all right?
Just out of you.
Yeah, you've been there just about as long as I've fucking known you.
7 years?
So
yeah,
I got this question.
Or a little bit under that, yeah.
I'm kind of taking a break right now.
Huh?
I already don't know where I'm at. So,
Whoa.
How many beers have you had?
No, I'm talking about, like, I don't know if I'm going to go back or not. I don't know.
But
where are you going?
To ecstasy.
Oh,
jeez.
Yeah, it's
strictly.
Yeah.
So
but
where
are
we going?
Ray's boom boom room.
So,
boom.
And I have I made a lot of good, I guess, friendships with people that worked in the security department, you know?
Uh-huh.
As a police officer, how do you feel about security? Like, I know a lot of people are like, "Oh, you fucking ran a cop and shit like that," but how do you feel as a law enforcement?
Like, being called that?
No, just like them being called that or them being security, like, you know?
Oh, I give it, okay. There's a lot of security guard guys that are like a little overzealous and try to act more than, you know what I mean? Like, I don't ever want to clown on somebody or make anybody feel like their position is like so little or like, you know, like, "What the fuck are you acting like this? You're just a goddamn runner cop." I've been called a runner cop a shit ton of times. I fucking hated it every time.
What the fuck? Why?
Why?
Well, yeah, why?
When I was a reserve, mostly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then you get like, okay, like, I'm, you know, you call me a runner cop, bitch, I can sit there as a jail for once. You know what I mean?
Fuck
anyway.
Them. Fuck them.
But that was just, no, that was just... That's the anger shit talking to you.
I'll show you a rent-a-car.
You a
But no, I don't, like, I tend to find to have an easier time working with guys that aren't fucking, like, so, like, out there. Like, I mean, how can I say this? I don't belittle you because of your job, but I still kind of expect you to stay in your lane. You know what I mean?
Stay in your lane, bro.
Kind of like that. It's kind of how I mean. Like, I don't necessarily, you know what I mean? And so, but there's, you know, for the guys that are like, you know what I mean? 100%, because I mean, it should, believe it or not, like, it's fucking law. Like, if they get assaulted, they can charge them public servant because they're a security officer. Mm. They can still be charged. Like, somebody assaulted them, like, as a public servant in their duties. So, yeah, like,
so it'll be like you assaulting a police officer. Yeah,
but so long as it's the same charge, because they're still in their commission.
It's fucking
and
crazy.
And when you become a security officer, like, if I'm not mistaken, there's still like a certain level of clearance you still have to have to get like an actual like level one or two or whatever the levels are.
Level three, I think, to
get them.
Yeah.
There's still like a certain level of security clearance that you have to go through to even be able to get that level. So like, you know what I mean? You still got to put in some work, you know what I mean? And you still got to deal with bullshit, so I'm not going to, like, just knock you for what you're doing, but still, at the same time, I'm expecting you to be a dick because you're a security guard that you have, you know, power.
So it's more like an independent type thing, you know, like the independent person, depending who you are.
Yeah, it just depends on how you, like with anything. This depends on how you act and how you could carry yourself and conduct your business.
Yeah.
So, do you mind walking us through, like, your day-to-day gear? Like, you're walking into your office.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. EDC, baby. That's what I'm waiting for. That's what I'm waiting for. All
right, so first off.
Like, every minuscule detail, like.
Okay. Gosh,
you, take us into getting up in the morning, take a shower.
So, obviously, I got my shit. Okay. So first off, the vest itself weighs several fucking pounds.
How many pounds?
Damn, you would ask me that. I haven't checked my weight rating on the one that I carry, but
you know
it has to be.
Mine weighs 15.
15? But you have a body, the outer carrier type, right?
Yeah.
You have a vest?
It probably weighs close to 15 pounds. All right, it probably weighs close to that. Gotcha. This is just the one that I carry under my uniform, right? So
it might be around 20. I don't know.
Yours probably has to be close to 20.
I'm starting to feel it.
Like plates itself are probably heavier than just the actual Kevlar.
Yeah, it's not Kevlar.
What I wear, it's Kevlar. It's got this like it's a hard trauma plate and a soft trauma plate in the chest. You have to put that thing on a certain way because everything is fitted to where you can, if you need to use something, you already know where it's at because you have to kind of know, it's muscle memory, you kind of have to know where shit is already on you all the time. But I have leather gear, and you either have nylon or leather. There's different variations of leather.
Is it a preference or just whatever
it's whatever our agency says for us. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, some agencies have that preference. If they gave us an option, honestly, I would go to nylon because it's way fucking lighter. Mm. Like,
so you just gotta work with the leather because it's what you got shot?
That's what they make us wear. Because it honestly, leather gear looks way more professional than nylon does. It really does. It looks like more like your traditional.
So, do you have the option to, if you wanted to get nylon just for your use, could you?
No.
Or do you have to stick with
it? We're mandated by policy to do that. That's our, like, we have to wear leather. Mm-hmm. I can imagine that you could probably get away with putting on nylon if you have some kind of, like, medical clearance or something like that, but you get all kinds of other bullshit with that. But anyways, so you have leather gear, you know, I've have two sets of cuff cases, I got my handgun, I got taser.
What type of handgun do you use?
We use Glock 19, it's a 9mm.
Glock 19?
Yep. 9mm. Gold dot ammunition to hollow points.
Gold dot.
Yep. They did a spear.
Gold dot. Is it required to carry that? Like.
Yeah, and I'm 100% for making sure that everybody on the force carries the same weapon because when it comes down to it, like if you end up getting into a firefight or whatever, if I run out of ammunition, I want to be able to like let me have one of your magazines and get my shit ready to go too with you. Yeah, so reloading, getting ready to go. And so then whenever you train, you train with your firearm, like you as an individual might be good with your own firearm.
See,
but if you're training with the same firearm everybody else uses, it's the same shit. You know,
I would have never thought about that. Like,
there's a lot of tactics a lot of people don't think about. Like, okay, like just to go back to the traffic stop thing, some of the tactics that you use. Okay, so you hit your, first off, this is me. Just some of the tactics I'll give you. Okay. I'm giving up, like, whenever I'm about to stop somebody, this is from the outside. Like, if you were to get stopped by me and saw my lights, 98% of the time, dispatch already has that plate, can already tell if it's stolen or not, can already tell who's it registered to, anything that has to do with that vehicle, they already know. And I'm already going to anticipate where we're probably going to end up stopping. So, like, I might be here, like, at fucking, you know, Zhang and fucking Clarendon, but you know, if I feel like we're gonna stop at Zhang and fucking Illinois, I'm gonna tell them all that way before we even stopped. So that, and then when you pull over, you know, I always blade my car to an angle, right? So it's like you have somebody's car is facing straight, my car's always at an angle.
And it's just because you want the peak downtown traffic to go out of their way.
That's part of it. Yeah, you park your car the way you want the traffic to move, so you want to move, obviously, but no. But the biggest thing is, there was a certain period where officers were getting killed because people were just fucking ramming into their cars when they just initiated traffic stop. So when you're on the side of the road, and if your car is bladed like this, and it gets hit from behind,
it's going to go the other way.
It's going to go away from you versus towards you if you're on a traffic stop.
Gotcha.
And then the whole thing, too.
So you don't turn your wheels either?
I turn my wheels.
You turn your wheels?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because that's added cover. So like if and it's happened a shit ton of times, officers will stop a car and it, before they even have a chance to put, this is another reason why I call out all my stuff before I do it. Before they're even done talking, they're already getting shot at. So that's another reason. Like I angle like that because as soon as we come to a stop, I'm unassing that car and I'm outside of that car.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bladed, so I have somewhere to stand behind if they shoot at me.
Right.
So that's part of the tactic. Another, and at night, because I work nights, the spotlight, I aim that thing at the side view mirror.
Ooh. Blinding them.
But it's blinding them. But the reason I do that is because when you, and you guys, if y'all have ever been stopped by the cops, what's the first thing you do? You look to see where that cop is at.
Drop down and roll.
You see where they're coming from.
You can see.
You want, and fuck it, if you have light in your face, you can't fucking see. So it's part of tactics. It's not about being a dick. You know, a lot of people tell me, you guys trying to fucking light in your fucking face, you asshole?
Yeah.
It's not about that. It's just about, it's all about tactics. Yeah. So anyways, going back to the other thing, yeah. Like, all the equipment that you carry for, it's all about tactics and how you have it. And I have a standard issued AR-15 that's provided by the department, and I have rifle round rated armor that's rated to stop.
Plate.
Just it's not plates, but it's a certain material. I forget what they call it, but it's it'll stop everything. No, it's not dragon scales. It'll stop an AK. I don't think it'll stop a 308.
Won't stop 308.
I don't know if it'll stop a 308, but it'll definitely stop an AK. It might stop it. I'm not sure.
I know some of the plates and armors, they won't even like. They'll stop an AR, like an AR round or an AK round, but at a certain distance.
At a certain distance too. Yeah. That it'll make the. But that's pretty much any body armor because. Like, even if I had, like, see if I even have my regular duty armor that I wear, but, and it's not even, I don't call it bulletproof, because nothing's fucking bulletproof, everything's yeah. bullet resistant. If you have a standard body armor, if you get hit probably more than three times with a round, even if it's like a 9mm,
yeah.
chances are that fourth one is going to go through, because the structural integrity of that armor is already
so
done.
So stressed, yeah.
It's already fucked. Yeah. It's already, like, that next round's going to go through like butter.
Right.
But yeah, I put everything in an order. Like everything for more of my keys. Like I get everything on. My armor goes on first. I put my pants on, and then I tie my boots up and everything first because I don't like to have my shirt untucked. And then I tuck in everything, and then I get my earpiece ready. I put that gear on, the leather gear. Yeah. You know, that's added extra weight to your fucking waist.
Right.
That your hips pretty much bare. So that's like a lot of officers. When they get older, if they don't take care of themselves, they tend to have a lot of back problems. There's a lot of weight that your back
yeah,
is supporting.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then with leather, it's even worse. So, you do that. I have a... From there, I pretty much... Once I have all my leather gear on, that's pretty much all. And then I have to consider where I have my body camera. I also consider
now, does every officer have a different preference?
For what?
Whenever they're doing their duty belt.
Like the layout of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a standard layout, but some people will still wear it a little bit off. Like, and you usually see people that usually wear it different from like the status quo are people that have come from like the corrections system, shit like that. Like guys that have been like corrections officers.
Oh, okay.
They're usually the ones who tend to wear their stuff a little bit different.
Slightly different.
Yeah. At least that's what I've observed. It might be different, but I mean that's just the standard two cuff cases in the back, baton, gun, spray. On one side, cuff case, radio, flashlight, mag pouch, taser. On your left.
So call me radio. Radio. Okay.
Just yeah. a fun fact.
Fun fact. What's a fun fact?
There's two handguns sitting on the table. They haven't grown legs or shadow, but.
Oh man.
The fuck, when did the other one show up?
Yeah, that's mine.
Is that yours or mine?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's my off duty.
That gay ass.
That's off duty?
Mm-hmm. Well, it actually was yours at one point.
Years ago, yeah.
So I traded your apple.
I didn't want to grease any body with no high quality apple. I decided not to bring it out.
Since you've had it, the only thing different is that I put some night tights on it. So
That's cool. Yeah. I still got Illumination on my HK, so that's alright. That's good. Any closing arguments for you guys? Any close statements?
Thanks for having me and everybody in podcast land. Hope you got something good out of it. Yeah, whether or not you think I'm an asshole after this, like I said, everything I said came from a good place, whether you believe it or not.
Yeah, I gotta say, I mean, it's a hot topic today with police in America. I mean, it's a huge subject. I mean, like I said, we all kind of try to, you know, it all comes down to what your perspective is. And I mean, once you hear the other side, you gotta go to the middle ground. There has to be some sort of middle ground being developed in today. Has to be something like that. So if you take anything from this podcast today, just make sure that everyone has an opinion. Don't, and just have some sort of respect for the opinion. Even if that person doesn't respect your opinion, be the bigger person and either just walk away. Yeah, just walk away or do something. You know, don't shame somebody or something like that. You know that we're grown. Well, most of us are. Anyways, like I said, follow us on Instagram at Podcast Your Average, Twitter Your Average Pod 1. Facebook, Your Average Podcast. As always, this has been great, and we will see you next time. Cheers.
Cheers, guys.